from 30 for 30 Podcasts.
Brian Patta, senior defensive lineman from Miami, gunned down.
The key to this case, it's Brian.
An hour before he died, he was on the phone arguing with somebody.
This might be a hit.
You want the truth. They just want a conviction.
Being placed under arrest.
We had a killer amongst us.
Murder at the U. Listen now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey! Everybody,
can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part, our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
How do you think ABS is being taken in?
The batter's challenge in the pitch.
It's entertaining.
And the Yankees get it right again.
The Rich Eisen Show from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Today's guests, 14-year NFL veteran Lavonte David, Basketball Hall of Famer Chris Webber, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, actor Wilson Bethel. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
I can confirm that, because here I am, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, sitting here at the desk in Los Angeles, California. 844-204-RICH, number to dial, whether you're streaming us live on Disney Plus, the ESPN app, or listening to us live on our Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate network, stitched together coast to coast by our friends at ESPN Radio and SiriusXM Channel 80 listeners. Hello, podcast listeners. I know you're not listening live. It's your right to do that. We appreciate you taking in the show that way, or you're watching us on our YouTube channel, Chopped Up, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Hello, Chris Brockman. Good to see
Hello,
you.
Hello, Rich Eisen.
Jason
good morning,
Feller.
My friend.
Good to see you.
Hello,
sir. Good to see you. Good to see you. TJ Jefferson, candles lit.
It's great to be seen, Rich Eisen.
I love that. We're going to start today's program with the Pro Day held yesterday. Let me get this correct. I saw that. Let me get this name right. I should have written it down. There it is. John Mellencamp Pavilion.
No way, really?
Yes, sir.
No, it's not.
That's awesome.
It is, in fact.
Little pink houses for you.
Named after John Mellencamp, the pavilion.
Really?
Okay. Not just any old practice facility. It's a pavilion.
Is it the Jack and Diane Field at the
Good pavilion? Look at you. Presented by Uniqlo.
There you go.
I don't know.
Wow.
Now you're getting a little too deep in the weeds for me.
I was done after that one, to be honest.
That's where Fernando Mendoza's pro day went down. These are words I didn't think. It's one big mad lib. Fernando Mendoza pro day at the John Mellencamp Pavilion on the campus of the national champion, undefeated national champion, Indiana Hoosier football program.
That's a mouthful. That's like.
Did you hear what I just said?
No, I mean, yes.
Say it again for the people in the back.
Just never going to get.
Well, and by the way, 10 different members of the Raiders organization was there. I don't know if any of them were named Jack or Diane. But
Tom Brady has a son named Jack.
That's true.
But here's a little ditty. The Raiders are going to choose this kid first overall.
Look at you.
And his pro day, I mean.
Outside the tasty.
He threw 56 passes. Only 3 of them hit the ground. Yada, 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 yada. He looks great. He's going to be first overall. And it's kind of crazy because when we kind of got introduced to him slowly this year nationally. Indiana fans knew exactly who it was from the beginning and saw him and were like, okay. And Indiana starts winning games, not losing at all. And the first time I watched him play pretty much from start to finish was that Penn State game.
Yeah, me too.
When I tuned in, looking at the score, waiting to see it become a blowout because, you know, that was after they blew out James Franklin. And the Nittany Lions were clearly not as good as we thought they were going to be. And it was a tight game. And then I just watched this kid throw and watched this kid make the passes necessary to win the game in the final drive. And Omar Cooper, who's going to be a first-round selection with his quarterback, with that incredible grab at the back of the end zone, right?
Unbelievable.
I mean, what a shot that is. And somebody's going to be very happy with this young man as a new wide receiver for their receiver room. But I digress. We saw what he was doing, made the Big Ten championship game, took a shot in the mouth from the Ohio State to start, gutted it all out, came up with the win, sends Indiana into the college football playoffs as the clear number one seed, right? After he's beaten Oregon in the regular season, and now he beats the Ohio State in the championship game. And then this is how he was essentially introduced to the rest of the world. You know, like Richard Sherman back in the day in a post-game one-on-one on Fox. This one with the All-American girl, Jenny Taft. Ha-ha! Ha-ha! Spoke with him after the game. And this is the way it went down.
The Big Ten champs, how does that sound?
It sounds so beautiful. I want to give all the glory to God. We were never supposed to be in this position, but by the glory of God, the great coaches, great teammates, everyone we have around us, we were able to pull this off. Whoever thought the Hoosiers would be here, but now the Hoosiers are flipping champs. Let's go!
I saw that, and it doesn't do it justice by just covering it, which is what we did on our TV show for our radio fans. Covering it, I mean, with a photograph and a graphic, because we don't have the rights to show the Fox video. But the reason why I bring this up is because he's looking directly at the camera, yeah, too. He wasn't looking at Jenny Taft. He was looking directly into the camera and then smiled after he screams, "Let's go." And it was just delightfully dorky. Yeah. Is the only way to put it.
I think that's a good way
delightfully
to put it,
yeah. Dorky.
Or psychotic.
And no, not psychotic. No, I thought it was genuine.
That's your quarterback.
I thought it was genuine. I thought it was fun. I thought it was enthusiastic. And I thought it was awesome. And I also thought, who does he remind me of? Being delightfully dorky and genuine and also throwing a bit of religiosity in there. I said, and I think a lot of other people thought too, kid sounds like Kirk Cousins.
A little bit.
And comes across a little bit like Kirk Cousins as the guy that wouldn't be a bad face of your franchise and isn't going to be on the wrong side of the ledger, on the right, if it was in New York, page, back, not the front. Mm-hmm. And just in case you're wondering, he does sound like Kirk Cousins. Can you roll that back? Listen to it one more time, please. Hit it.
The Big Ten champs. How does that sound?
It sounds so beautiful. I want to give all the glory to God. We were never supposed to be in this position, but by the glory of God, the great coaches, great teammates, everyone we have around us, we were able to pull this off. Whoever thought the Hoosiers would be here, but now the Hoosiers are flipping champs. Let's go.
You like that? You like that?
Unbelievable. He sounds just like him. Went all that way for that audio gag.
Nice. Well done.
Do you have him back? We can just again toggle back and forth.
Let's go! You like that? You like that?
Not bad, right?
It's pretty close.
Let's go! Let's go!
Well, I mean, the guy who's going to hire him would put the F in between the let's and the go.
Right, of course. A little more profane.
And sure enough, who did the Raiders get today for their quarterback room?
You like that?
Yeah.
You like
that guy.
Wow.
Kirk Cousins is signing with the Raiders. And this is a genius move. It's great. You get a longtime veteran, to be in the room with this kid. And if my initial thought is he sounds like Kirk Cousins and he comes across a little bit like Kirk Cousins, they got the genuine article to sit in the quarterback room with him and potentially start. Let's get to that in a second. This was Mendoza after his pro day being asked about his workout performance.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think the main goal today was to serve my teammates. And I think that I was able to do that, be able to put them in a position where they're able to make plays, show what they got, and very excited for them in the future. And like I said, I'm just trying to be the best quarterback come September. So today was cool. And yeah, there's a little bit of nerves like right before, but those nerves means I'm ready. And those nerves, I turn into energy towards the workout and to be a better quarterback. So in that essence, like, you know, there were nerves, but for me, it wasn't very high stakes. It was just having fun with the guys.
It's like, is he real? Right? But it's genuine. I kind of dig it. Now, I know you're like, okay, you get it. You're serving your teammates.
Yeah.
But he is. In all honesty, I mean, these Indiana teammates that are out there, we'll find out at the end of the day how many draft choices come from Indiana as opposed to the previous national champion in the Ohio State. Or in the case of my alma mater, after Michigan won it all, they put, you know, right around 14 to 16 draft choices out there for everybody to choose from. Certainly sent him at the combine. So he is, in fact, doing a service to his teammates. This is his comment about whether he was auditioning for the first overall pick, even though he will 100% be that.
I wouldn't really say that the mentality of trying to be the top pick. I'm just trying to be the best me possible. And in that aspect, whatever team picks me, you only need one team to believe in you, whether you're the first pick, whether you're the last pick, whatever. And in that, I'm just trying to be the best quarterback I can be in September rather than right now here in April. So I'm putting all my effort towards, you know, just trying to be the best quarterback possible for the season.
And the best thing for him is he now has a setup where he doesn't have to be the best quarterback in the room in September. That's a fact. Or he's starting even though he isn't the best quarterback in the room in September, because the Raiders have no other choice and they're just going to go for it with him and start. Might as well start him. Might as well get him his lumps. Might as well get him his practice. Might as well get him his live reps. They don't have to do that now. What a bonus it is to get Kirk Cousins for that alone. And yeah, he's going to be the first overall pick in the draft. Again, I understand some people overlook Indiana football still, even in this room, for next year. 72% of his passes, 3,500 yards passing, 41 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. He's 6'5" and 22 years old. That screams first overall pick. Certainly based on the results we saw team-wise as well. That's a first overall selection in the NFL draft. Certainly, again, when he's the only one that has anything remotely close to that as a resume amongst the quarterbacks that are draftable. And so Cousins will start the season, I believe. Cousins will start the season.
Oh, and I totally disagree.
Okay, I'm glad you disagree.
I was literally about to ask
because
this after you.
This is what makes sense to me.
Using the first pick and then have him sit?
What makes sense to me, certainly since this is a new line, a new playbook, a new everything, a new league, you don't have to start him. And there's no way this kid is beating out Kirk Cousins if we're going to hear at some point from Clint Kubiak it's a competition. Not a chance.
Oh, I 100% think he beats out Kirk.
I don't.
He's a better player. When was the last time a first overall Heisman Trophy national champion didn't start week one?
Oh, it's been a long time.
Probably never.
Because everybody needs to start that guy. It's a new coach, a new situation. I think you get Kirk Cousins to coach him up and throw him out there in week one, week two, week three, week four, see how it goes, see what's working, see what's not, show the kid how to be a professional, show the kid what's going on in the playbook, show the kid everything.
Yeah, he can do that and not start week one.
The money, interestingly enough, because at the end of the day, this is the way I would want Fernando Mendoza to mimic Kirk Cousins' career. He's making fully guaranteed dollars, $20 million. Now, everyone's going to flip out when they see the numbers. It's a five-year, $172 million deal that he's signing with the Raiders.
Wait, is that real?
It is. And
is he a billionaire
this
again?
Is all cap. This is all cap stuff, guys. It's all cap stuff.
Like they're lying?
Schefter boils it down. A one-year, fully guaranteed $20 million deal that includes a club option for 2 years at $80 million. Now, of the money that's in this kitty right here for this year, the Falcons are going to pay $8.7 million with the Raiders getting, you see the $1.3 million? That's the number you see in relation to Murray and Tua because that's the league minimum. That has to come from the team that hires him. The team that's paying him the rest of it because that team is on the hook for it, like the Dolphins and the Cardinals are for Tua and Murray, The Falcons pay $8.7 million, and then the Raiders decide to just flip him a $10 million roster bonus on the third day of next year. That's guaranteed. Which Schefter then points out.
They're not paying that.
It's fully guaranteed.
On the next year.
$10 million roster bonus on the third day of next year.
That's not fully happening.
What words of fully guaranteed do you not get?
It's guaranteed on the third day of next year.
It's fully guaranteed that they're going to give it to him.
Oh, I don't think that.
And maybe most notably, it sets another new mark, as he points out, 11th straight NFL season in which Cousins' contract is fully guaranteed. 11 years in a row, he's being paid like a Major League Baseball pitcher, which is every dollar on the contract is what you're being paid, except for we are seeing the rest of the funny money that must have been thrown in there for cap purposes that I don't even want to understand. But people are going to be like, well, wait a minute. He signed a 5-year, $172 million deal. They're not going to draft Fernando Mendoza. Yes, they are. They're going to throw him in the same quarterback room as Fernando Mendoza, in the same quarterback room with Kirk Cousins. And Kirk's going to teach him everything he needs to know about being a professional with the Kirk Cousins way of doing things, which is the kid will be all right. And I feel at the end of the day, they're going to look at their line in OTAs and in training camp. They're going to look at how Mendoza is absorbing the playbook when they throw it in his direction the first second they can. They're going to see how he's taking it all in. They're going to see how the protection is beginning to gel. They're going to see how the running game is potentially going to be potent, and they'll make a decision whether Mendoza starts week one. I don't think they have a choice but to put Cousins in there at that point in time, unless he shows up, like you're supposing, Chris, that he is already a better athlete and a better quarterback professionally than Kirk Cousins, which I think is a very tall task for him.
I guess I'm just sitting here looking shocked because I've heard for the last 3-4 months that Mendoza's getting drafted first.
He is.
You're going to plug him in. He's your day one starter. Everyone's been saying this. And now it's like, nah, he's going to be on the bench. Like,
I'm not saying he's going to be on the bench. I'm saying that he probably will be because this is a different league. It's a different sport. Look at my guy, 9, who's not as tall. All right, and potentially not as big-armed, but like Mendoza didn't lose a game in winning a national championship, and things were not, and he had Justin Jefferson sitting out there, and he had Kevin O'Connell, who's been a coach of the year in this league. This is a first-year coach as his HC. But I understand what you're saying, Chris. Throw him out there. That's what you got him for. I understand what you're saying.
I think this is an insurance policy, and he's just going to be an expensive assistant coach. There's no way you take the Heisman Trophy winner, the national champ, the number one pick, and you say, actually, it's this guy's gig. No chance. I don't see it.
We'll find out. But it's a great choice. It's a great choice to have. It's a great choice to have.
And great backup. What if Mendoza gets hurt early McCarthy did? Like, great backup plan. But that's what it is, in my mind, a backup plan.
Yeah, I don't think Raiders fans are sitting here let's start
exactly.
Kirk Cousins. I mean, we can
I don't know. Raiders fans, you can chime in here. I think it's a great choice. I think it's a great choice. And I think last year the culture change didn't work. They tried for it with Pete, who I adore. Clearly, it didn't work. They've now gone a completely different direction. Hot shot, new coordinator, head coach, first overall selected quarterback, going crazy in free agency, getting Max Crosby to stay. Okay.
Yeah, that's wild.
Maybe that's why they got him, because they wanted to keep Crosby away from Mendoza. It's like, go mess up.
Go mess up. That
this bullseye.
This is the way.
That's funny.
You don't have to put Mendoza out there week one. Prior to today, you're like sitting around going, will they do it? Probably have to. And who's going to be the veteran there to take the pressure off? Great choice, because the kid does seem like Cousins already.
Right.
Great choices, man.
And I can't wait to hear from Tom later. I'm wondering what Cousins was told. This is kind of an interesting move for him, in my opinion.
I bet you Cousins was told he's going to start. Or fully knowing, because this is not his first rodeo, that the Raiders have their finger on that chess piece.
Yeah.
And could say, wow.
Yeah.
More ready than we thought.
Yeah, the kid's amazing. Sorry.
More ready than we thought. Yeah. Sorry, Kirk. Right. And we're only paying you, you know,
$10 million
backup money. That's backup plus money.
Yeah.
Which is something he might not have gotten somewhere else. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here. Levante David, decide, you know, this is what you do. You win a Super Bowl, you go to Disney World. You retire, you come to the Rich Eisen Show. Those are the two things.
Makes sense.
All right. Levante David, let's bring him out here. One of the best Bucks of this century. Joining us next.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
No one likes having to choose. That's why with America's best lineup of hybrids from Hyundai, you get the best of both worlds. Like the reliable and efficient Tucson hybrid with America's best warranty, or the stylish yet capable Santa Fe hybrid with the power to navigate the toughest terrain. It's like having your cake and eating it too, but, you know, better. Hybrids from Hyundai. It's the best of both worlds. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Rich Eisen here. The April 15th tax deadline is coming fast, but don't worry. Hand off your taxes to a TurboTax expert today. You know how April feels. Everything speeds up. Games matter more. Hoops and hockey schedules tighten. Your phone won't stop buzzing. And somewhere in the middle of it all, there's that quiet little reminder. Taxes. You'll get to it tonight or tomorrow or after the weekend. And if you handle it the old way, you're refreshing your inbox like it's breaking news. Waiting, wondering, hoping everything's squared away. That's a lot of mental bandwidth. With Intuit TurboTax Expert Full Service, you can match with a dedicated expert who understands your specific tax situation and handles your taxes for you, start to finish. You can do it all online or meet in person at one of their new tech-enabled store locations. Have your tax forms imported directly into the app and hand everything off to your TurboTax expert. While they work to get you every dollar you deserve, you can go about your normal routine, giving you time back to focus on what actually deserves your attention, like rooting for your team to make the playoffs. April 15th is not waiting, people. Visit TurboTax.com and hand off your taxes to a TurboTax expert today. Rich Eisen here. Every time I travel for a major sports moment, whether it's a playoff run or a huge primetime matchup, I see firsthand what happens to a city. Hotels fill up fast. Energy builds. Everyone wants to be part of it. Now imagine that on a global scale. The FIFA World Cup is coming this summer, people, and with it, thousands of fans traveling to host cities across the country. If you happen to live in one of those cities and you're planning to be away, maybe you've got your own summer trip lined up, this could be a practical opportunity. While you're gone, you could list your space on Airbnb and welcome traveling fans who want to experience the FIFA World Cup in person. You're not changing your routine. You're not committing to anything year-round. You're simply making the most of a moment when your city is in the global spotlight. I know when I'm on the road for a huge event, having a comfortable home base makes all the difference. And that's what fans will be searching for. If you've ever thought about listing your space, this summer is a great time as we welcome FIFA World Cup fans. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. David is sitting here in our studio fresh off of 14 seasons in the NFL, and we were just talking on our TV-only side of things about your thought process behind speaking from the heart at your retirement press conference and announcement. Yeah. Why did you decide to retire?
I decided, you know, just because, you know, I didn't have really no motivation to really, like, continue to play. In a sense, like when I play the game, right, I always have, like, I'm a structured guy. I need to know where I'm going and what I'm doing and stuff like that. And then at the end of the season, when everything happened, I didn't have that same drive that I used to have after every season, at the end of the season. And I was like, you know, just talking to people, again, certain advice. Jerry was the guy who I got advice from, different guys. And then the good thing about it is nobody kind of, like, pressured me in making a decision. Everybody gave me time, gave me a little grace to be able to, like, figure out what I really wanted to do. And I just sat, one day I just sat down and just, you know, looked myself in the mirror like, Vontae, it's your time to, you know, make your own decision about your life and actually what you want to do. And, you know, that then and there, I thought, like, if I'm second guessing about playing football, maybe I shouldn't be playing football anymore. You know, so that's what was the ultimate factor, because, you know, football, you know, I played football since I was 6 years old. It's been my driving force. And, you know, 30 straight years I've been playing football, you know. So, and then at that moment, I'm like, yeah, maybe it's time for me to, you know, let it go and move on and find a different path in life.
So what can you give voice to that was missing? Can you tell, can you put your finger on it? That
as far as, you know, football?
No, just missing, yeah. That you said that there was a certain feeling that you had that you had over the previous 14 seasons.
Yeah, just because, like, I love the game of football, right? And, you know, it just came to a point where I'm just like, if I'm second guessing.
What were you second guessing? Your health?
If I could really play again, if I could really play at a high level.
Were you finding you weren't hitting a hole as fast? Or
it's a couple of plays that I gave up last year that I don't really like. I take really like a lot of pride in and stuff like that. And, you know, people still telling me, man, you still go, you still can play. But I know I can still play, but am I going to play up to my standard? Am I going to play up to my ability that I know I can play? And if I can't do that, you know, I feel like 14 years I've, you know, I gave enough to the game. So now I just need to, you know, move on. And that's what was one of the main things, man. You know, these young guys are getting faster, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I don't probably got time to be chasing those guys, dudes all over the place, especially like with me holding myself to a certain standard and having my expectations for myself and not being able to accomplish that. That's something I just couldn't continue.
So who's the first person you called to deliver that news to?
The very first person I called was Jason Light. I called Jason. Me and Jason had a, you know, me and Jason got a great relationship already. We have a little heart-to-heart conversation, and we both obviously were sad. I told him, you know, this is probably one of the toughest conversations I've had. And then after that, got off the phone with him and called Todd Bowles and let Bowles know, you know, because, you know, me and Bowles' relationship is real tight. We are real cool. And then after that, set everything up, and that Tuesday we had a press conference. Yeah.
And what have you been thinking about since that press conference?
Oh, man, what I've been thinking about.
Are you happier?
I'm very happy. I'm extremely happy. That's one thing that before I made the decision, I wanted to make sure I was really comfortable and good with making the decision.
Yes.
You know, obviously. And, you know, people be saying, like, you're going to be back. You're going to come back. I'm like, nah, I don't think I'm going to be back. I don't think I'm good. You know, I feel like the NFL has been good to me, you know, throughout my 14-year career. And I'll be able to, you know, enjoy that now, you know, enjoy the fruits of my labor now and just, you know, maybe travel. Maybe, you know, I like eating, I like food, I like trying new restaurants. I may go on a little restaurant tour, whatever the case may be.
Well, you're not going to...
I'm not going to blow up, though. I'm not going to be that guy.
I was hunting for the right, appropriate, respectful way of putting it.
Yeah, I'm not going to be
that. And you said you're not going to blow up.
No, I'm not going to be that. I'm still going to work out in the process and stuff like that.
Well,
so
that's good.
And, you know, I got my little girl. She's going to keep me active. How old is she? She's 3 years old.
What's her name?
Logan.
Okay.
Yeah, I got my little, she's going to keep me active. I'm going to put her in sports this summer.
There we go.
Get her to do different things and venture out a little bit. You know, she's a little girly girl, but I want to have a little bit of, you know, oomph to her a little bit. So, you know, I might get into that a little bit too.
Okay. So that's the immediate future here. So many players and athletes that I've come across in all my times with you know, NFL Network will say, you know, I'll think about it when it's over. I'll look back when it's over. You know, I'm still here in the now and trying to create new future accomplishments. But now it is over.
Yeah.
You look back, your best moment was what?
My best moment?
As a National Football League player.
Winning the Super Bowl, honestly.
On your turf?
Yeah, on my turf and understanding what it took for me to get there, you know. Enduring 8 losing seasons in a row, not being able to sniff the playoffs and being talked down upon as a football team and stuff like that, and then just quickly turning around and then turning around to be a winning organization. We ended up winning our division, 4 or 5 years in a row and making the playoffs and things like that. So being able to be a part of that turnover and being a part of that success and for the Bucks to be able to want me to be a part of that was really a kind of like a cool point for me. And, you know, I give myself a pat on the back for that because a lot of guys kind of like want to go in different directions. Well, it was a point in my career I wanted to, but the Bucks wanted me to be a part of that turnaround. I was able to be a part of it.
All right, I need favorite stories here now. Okay?
Favorite stories.
Hold on a second.
Let's go.
Your favorite Tom Brady story.
Favorite Tom Brady story. I mean, I've been saying this story all the time, and this story is going to resonate with me for a very long time. But okay. I remember we were 7-5 during the bye week.
Of the Super Bowl year.
Of the Super Bowl year during the bye week.
Right.
And
the Chiefs had just beaten you, right?
Chiefs just beat us. We was going to, we and lost
put
in
up,
a row.
They put up a ton of points on here in that first quarter. Tyreek Hill still scoring. Okay.
We lost 3 in a row. Mm-hmm. And I remember Tom pinning me in the hallway. We talking. And at the end of the conversation, he just said, trust me, we're not going to lose another game. And we didn't lose another game. We ended up winning the Super Bowl.
He said that to you.
He said that to me. And that was pretty like, dang, this is God's the man. And, you know, as you can see, the videos and stuff like that is out there. Me giving him a humongous hug, you know, because it's like, he did something that I always wanted to do. And then he helped me get there. And I was definitely appreciative of that.
So you're just walking in the hallway.
Yeah.
Tom's coming this way. Levante David's coming this
way.
And he stopped you. And just
Yeah, because, you know, I was the leader. I was the captain of the team, captain of the defense. So we kind of just wanted to, like, you know, see where my head was at after, you know, what transpired the last couple of weeks. And at the same time, I wanted to see where his head was at, and I asked him and stuff like that. And then he ended up saying, like, pause a second and stop and said, we're not going to lose another game. And he sold me right there. You know, sometimes you'd be like, oh, man, I don't know about all that. This is a football league, whatever, but you never anything can happen. But he put us on his back, and he took us there, took us to the promised land, man.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
He sure did.
Yeah.
And I just remember, you know, Michael Irvin was with us at NFL Network on NFL Game Day morning. And he said the Bucs were going to win because there was no way ever that you could lose on your own home turf to someone else in the Super Bowl. They'd never be able to look at that ground and show up to work again the same way ever again. Were you talking about that sort of
thing? I wasn't talking that in that sense, but we was really like just looking at it because like our practice field right here, and we could see the stadium, them putting up the Super Bowl banners and putting up all the Super Bowl stuff. And we just like, guys, like, bro, we playing right there in our home stadium. Mm-hmm. Like, it's something, like, we have to come out and, you know, dominate. Like, losing wasn't an option for us that night. And we played like it, for sure. Like, it was a different type of swagger we had, different type of confidence we had. And the thing about it is we was being doubted. A lot of people doubted us and stuff like that. But, and I think that was a driving factor for Tom. If knowing Tom, he always find that competitive edge.
Yes.
You know, because at that moment, we lost 3 in a row, whatever, and then people were saying, like, oh, we just going to go to the wild card, maybe, and then be knocked out. But I think that's what really drove him, but it showed in that Super Bowl.
Your favorite Bruce Arians story?
My favorite Bruce Arians story.
Now, you're laughing because you know you're on live television.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is technically our work, and you need to come up with something that is safe for it.
Yeah.
But,
man.
What do you got for me?
B.A. got a lot of stories, but one story that really sticks out to me is just, you know, like how forward he is in his words and, you know, he gonna let you know what it is. And, you know, I never really saw that before out of a head coach. And I remember one day we was just in meetings, we was in a team meeting or whatever, and we got an ME board, ME chart and stuff like that. And if you on the ME chart more than one time, he just gonna dog curse you out. You know what I'm saying? And like, I'm like, dang, like that's what I like right there. Player, coaches holding players accountable. And when he was calling people out, he was just like, oh man, like this is what they talking about. This is BA right here. And like, you just, if you on this board more than once, you just don't give a F. You just a dumb MF, and I gotta get rid of you. And I got to get rid of you. We're not going to have dumb MFers on this football team. And that right there, I respected him on that right there. And I really, like, you know, appreciate him. Because, like, a coach holding you accountable is, you know, it, like, I never kind of, like, witnessed that in a sense for the most part. But when him saying that, and, like, years prior, we used to lose games off of doing stupid stuff. And for him to make that an emphasis, kind of like, I'm like, yeah, I like that.
Did he ever put Brady in that barrel like that in front of everybody?
Nah, Tom really messed up. He didn't actually.
Okay.
No.
Probably makes sense.
Yeah.
I'd keep that behind closed
doors. Yeah.
Last one on your favorite story. Mm-hmm. I need your favorite Jameis Winston story. Levante David.
My favorite Jameis this right here. It was actually between Jameis Winston and Gerald.
Okay.
And I thought it was kind of funny.
Okay.
One of those dog days in Tampa, training camp, and offense, defense going at it, whatever. And, you know, it's hot. So one day we was doing something, and practice was over, and Gerald was saying something like, boy, this is like a tough day. Like, let's keep going. Let's go, fellas. And then Jameis kind of like said something like, Gerald, you play D-line. You don't be doing nothing anyway. And it's like one of the first time I seen Gerald get so pissed off. It was like, what? Man, you a quarterback. What you talking about? You don't do nothing like that. And I think Jameis was just like messing with him, just picking at him, whatever. But, you know, for just knowing Jameis, how he always playful, always playing around and stuff like that, that's kind of like stood out to me. Like, hey, we're like, why are you messing with the man? Like, we in camp or whatever. And then it just went on, and we just had to calm them two down.
Did he ever give a speech? Jameis, where you're kind of like, what did he just say?
Yeah, I mean, the infamous E to W speech, man. That right there was one of the most crazy things that's going down in NFL history. But
your 14 years.
Yeah. But he
E to W.
It came from a great place. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess when he had it in his mind that it was going to like hype us up, didn't really go how he wanted it to go. You know, but I just remember, you know, that happened, us circling up, and then he just taking over, and then, like, he started going, like, moving around, being animated, and when he started doing that, I just started, like, drifting back a little bit, like, nah, no way. And then, you know, if you look up the rest of that game, man, you know how it went. But I genuinely love Jameis, man, just because he's an authentic guy, and that's mm-hmm. you get what you get out of him.
Yeah. Yeah. He's now doing some paparazzi stuff too. I saw him on the Netflix Major League Baseball, season opener.
Yeah.
Before I let you go, let's talk about the team that you're kind of leaving behind.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be, you know, difficult for fans in Tampa to not see you out there. And now Mike Evans.
Right.
Were you surprised that Mike Evans left?
Surprised in a sense, but Like really knowing Mike and, you know, understanding, you know, his thought process and things, I'm not, you know, it didn't catch me off guard,
mm-hmm.
I would say. Because Mike is a competitive person, man, and he just wanted to be somewhere new, you know, wanted a new challenge for himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he cemented himself in Tampa history and, you know, football history and things like that. So he probably just wanted a different challenge, and just going out there to San Fran and being in a different environment probably was that challenge for him.
Well, I mean, for some people who are from the outside looking in,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm looking at you,
mm-hmm.
14 years,
yeah,
one team.
Yeah.
Won a Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
one team.
Yeah.
And he, I guess, willingly gave up that mm-hmm. opportunity for his career, and it's difficult to square that.
Yeah, it is. It is for a lot of people to grasp. You know, people thought he was going to be that you know, that Tampa legend too, as well, mm-hmm. playing your whole career in Tampa, and it just sometimes things just don't work out. You know what I'm saying? And you know, the Bucs organization, and I know Mike still have love for the community, still have love for the organization, stay high love for the teammates, but I feel like he left them in a good place, you know, just leaving the wide receiver room, and, you know, the room is already filled with a bunch of talent, so he knew they was going to be okay in that aspect. And just knowing Mike, man, just personally, he just wanted probably a different time. I never got a chance to talk to him actually why he did it or whatever like that, mm-hmm. but just me, you know, building a relationship with him all these years, I just know that he's probably just one of the different challenges for himself.
Yeah, Buka seemed to come straight out of the Ohio State box, like ready to roll, and Baker and he have a nice connection.
Yes, exactly.
It seems like, right? Yeah, exactly. And all the other young receivers.
Mm-hmm. And then you still got Chris Godwin there, who's a proven veteran, a great leader for that room too as well. And we ended up signing Kate Otten back. And you still got Bucky Irvin, and obviously you got Baker leading the way. So they're gonna do great on that side. And Jason and everything gonna do a great job of adding people in the locker room to kind of, like, I would say, fill the void of leadership and stuff like that. As far as for Mike and myself, so I think they're gonna be okay.
Yeah, I mean, when you're following the man,
mm-hmm.
you want to usually be the guy after the guy mm-hmm. who's after the guy.
Right.
For Baker to step in after Tom leaves and keep the division championships going, obviously this year was different.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's the man there.
Yeah, he's definitely the man. Yeah, he's definitely the man, and he got it. I mean, the way he carries himself. Baker, not a big talker. He talk a lot on the field, though. He's a trash talker. But mm-hmm. as far as, like, you know, he lead by example type, and you could see it, you know what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. that's what makes him great. And that's what we allow him to be when he came to our locker room. We allow him to be himself. And we want him to go out there and just play football and everything else that comes with it. And once he learned the locker room and learned, you know, the guys that he's in the locker room with, now he can probably step up and be maybe a more vocal leader. But I feel like he's doing a great job of what he's doing. And the good thing about it is you got different guys around that locker room. Because, you know, fill pieces. You still got Vita Vea, you still got Antoine Winfield, you got Yaya Diaby, you got Trishna Reuss, and like I said, you got Chris Godwin and those guys. So you got some veterans in that locker room that can, you know, kind of like carry the load.
Yeah. Yeah, pieces and loads. That's that's Vita Vea all in one. You know, when you think right. about that.
Exactly.
So before I let you go here, Levante, I know this is probably an unfair question to ask in early April, but we always ask in our business, you're 100% retired? You're done?
Rich.
You know, there could be a phone call coming. Yeah. You know, Tom himself usually made those two Gronk back in the day. So. What do you think?
I think a lot of people got that in their mind that I may do that because they feel like I can still play the game and I still love the game. But I'm gonna be honest with you, Rich. Nah, I'm not gonna make that. I'm not gonna come back. You know, I'm done with football as far as like playing the game. I still want to be around the game.
You
though,
do?
Of course.
How so? What do you want
to? Eventually, I may want to get into scouting in the scouting department. I want to get in the front office role.
Okay.
Yeah, or I may want to do media and things like that and cover sports, cover football and things like that. So, you know, I'm a sports guy. I'm a sports fan. So I still want to be around it. But as far as like playing it. I don't think that's for me because, you know, I kind of got a good look at actually watching football and see the physicality of the game. It's like, dang, I did that for 14 years. Like, sheesh. I can't believe I did that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You did it.
Yeah.
You did it really, really, really well. And I'm leaving out some reallys. You're outstanding what you do. And obviously, if you want to be part of the paparazzi, you've got to, you know, you got me sitting here. If you want to, you know. Try it out.
Yeah.
Just let me know.
For sure. Appreciate you. I'm definitely going to bug you.
Right back at you. Levante David, really appreciate you being here. I know I always said this to Marshall. He never liked it when people congratulated him. Yeah. And he says, what? I'm just retired. I'm like, no, it's what you did leading up to retirement.
Yeah.
But congrats. 14 years is a massive achievement.
Yes, sir.
You know, and then, you know, good luck with, you know, maybe getting calls and jackets and things like that. Levante, I wish you the best of luck and all
that. Thank you. Levante. So let's have our fingers crossed.
Yeah. Go just one. Question. I'm looking at your stats. Mm-hmm. Tremendous. Just quick question for you. You had two interceptions in your career. Who'd you get? Do you remember off the top of your head?
Two touchdown interceptions that I took back or just two?
Just two regular, two touchdown interceptions.
We don't know if they were pick sixes.
Yeah,
sixes.
The pick sixes.
One was Mark Sanchez. And the other one, who was the other one?
I just happened to see it, and I was wondering.
I don't know who the other one was.
Yeah, two pick sixes.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Appreciate you. Appreciate
on those pick sixes and everything else. Levante David here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, Raiders fans, we'll take your phone calls when we return here on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Need parts fast? O'Reilly Auto Parts has fast. Need them now? We've got now. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. We're O'Reilly Fast. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
It's God Lord, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. Let's go to Max in St. Louis, Missouri. What's up, Max?
Crosby?
No, just one X.
Yeah, guys, I'm a Raiders fan, and I definitely wanted to say that I fully support Kirk Cousins being in there help Mendoza along for a year because I have PTSD from Jamarcus Russell still.
Oh, wow.
And I do not want to see that happen again.
I bet Max, that'll leave a mark. And it did on the Raiders organization for some time. Thanks for the call. That's Max in St. Louis calling in Raiders fan, giving that a silver and black check mark right there. Listen, I'll give you one other take on the Kirk Cousins signing in Las Vegas. Because, you know, players make decisions based on opportunities, not just for the team with which they're signing or for which they're signing, but also because they know there's not an opportunity somewhere else. So clearly, I don't know if he looked at Arizona or not. Clearly, this means, in my mind, the Steelers are 100% waiting for Aaron Rodgers and now have to wait for Aaron Rodgers. I believe.
Again, they've backed themselves into a corner.
That Cousins is now off the chessboard.
Yep.
Going to Vegas, where he knows. Remember, last time he signed with a team, that team hired him for a contract worth nine figures that they intended to pay all nine figures, and then went ahead and drafted a quarterback in the first round. This team is going to draft the quarterback first overall, which is 100% the spot that causes a team to start that guy as soon as possible. And Cousins says, I'll go there. Meaning, he either thought Pittsburgh's not an option, or maybe it wasn't an option for him. Maybe they weren't going to pay him fully guaranteed. Again, maybe there is a money aspect to it. Maybe there's an aspect to it, though, that he knew that's Rodgers' spot. And now this means, even though Art Rooney's like, yeah, I would expect an answer before the draft, they might just have to change their expectation goalpost, potentially, if that's the way it's going to play out. Or we're a day away from finding out Rodgers like, I'm back.
Yeah.
He'll pop up on Pat's show and say, I'm back. You know? One never knows with him, but I'm just saying, if Cousins is like willingly going to the place that's going to draft a quarterback, and not just any quarterback in any spot, this kid in the first overall position, after the last time he went somewhere and got pizzayed and they drafted a kid anyway, unbeknownst to him, this means, in my mind, the Steelers weren't an option for him. And also, maybe they did tell Cousins he's got a shot to start, and I think he will, unless Mendoza shows up straight out of the Cignetti box, ready to roll in a manner that would be a pleasant surprise for the Raiders. Tom Pelissero on this subject matter in hour two coming up.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.